Good morning, everybody. Let me clear my throat there. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio on Flag Day. Yes, it is Flag Day, June 14th, 2022. Nice to have you here with us, and you might be listening on the archives. A lot of people do, and we archive every show over at ace-ed.org. That's the home website of our Consortium for Equity. And everything we do is over there, our magazine, Equity and Access Pre-K 20. Hold on. Wow. Where'd that come from? Our magazine, Equity and Access Pre-K 20, our SEL Today website, it's all linked over there at ace-ed.org. Our Equity Awards program, the Excellence in Equity Awards program is over there as well. All right, and also our teacher retention work, all about the teacher shortage, which is what we're talking about today. I've got a great guest here today. We've got Alan Mather here. Alan is the president of the Golden Apples Foundation. All right, I'm going to bring him on. I'm going to let him start talking here. I was going to go on, but I figured, what the heck. Alan, it's Larry. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Larry, right. thanks so much for having me.
I was going to go on and on, and I figured, what the hell, I'll just bring you on. What the heck, what's the difference? All right, welcome.
Sounds beautiful. Thank you.
Jack, that's funny. Hey, you know, your last name is Mather. Is that the way you pronounce it?
Yep, just like mother, except with an A. Yep.
Okay. My wife pronounces it because her family are Mathers, but they pronounce it Mother, M-A-T-H-E-R. And they are, which I'm sure you are too, somewhere along the line, direct descendants of Cotton Mather, as we like to say, the man most responsible for the Salem witch trials. So congratulations. Welcome to the family.
Thank you so much. It's good to be part of the family.
So, Mr. Mather, go with the Mather. Maybe it'll hide your identity. Okay? Carolyn's a Mather. Same name. All right. And by the way, just so you know this, Stephen Mather, do you know who that is?
Parks District.
Exactly. Stephen Mather helped create the national parks. And go to every national park will have a Mather something or other. We say Mather. Mather something or other. Mather Point, Mather Park, Mather this, Mather that. Okay, there you go. Welcome to the family, like I said, Alan.
All right, that's beautiful.
Yeah,
that's
stick
beautiful.
With me.
I had not heard Mather before, so.
Mather, that's the way they, can you believe it? My mother, they're New Englanders, Mather. Okay, so there you go. Not Mather, they're Mathers. Okay. And I've gotten used to saying that over all these years with my wife. Mother. All right, so there you go. It doesn't bother me one way or the other. Okay, tomato, tomato. All right, I wanted you to know, I know you, everybody, by the way, Kelly over there, thank you for setting us up. Ashley and Rachel were supposed to join us, but they haven't called in. Just so you know, if somebody's listening, if they want to get in touch. But we're fine with you, okay, because this is a really cool program. GoldenApple.org, everybody, is a program geared to get people into education as a career and help eliminate the teacher shortage. And we have our website, teacher-retention.com. We are really concerned about this. Okay, everybody knows, you know, and I know it's mostly teachers listening. We want you to stay in your job, and we want to bring more people up. The cohorts are smaller. Okay, if sometimes non-existence in some elementary schools, in some education schools, excuse me. And, you know, it's a challenge out there. It's a real problem. So, Alan, I'm going to just swing over to you. Tell us about goldenapple.org, of which you are the president. Now you're on. Go for it, Mr. Mather.
All right, beautiful. Thank you. So, Golden Apple, I will just give you a little history lesson first. So Mike and his late wife, Pat Koldyke, were in Chicago back in 1985 watching the Academy Awards, and Pat turned to Mike and said, "Those should be teachers up there." So Mike and Pat started the Golden Apple Foundation for Excellence in Teaching in Illinois in 1985 as a way to honor teachers. And to this day, we award 10 teachers across the state of Illinois and 2 principals. Who have a huge impact on student learning, who engage and excite students about their learning. But about 2 years in, that first group of what we call fellows, award-winning teachers, they sat together with Pat Koldyke and said, we should be doing more. And so they started the Golden Apple Scholars Program, which recruits high school seniors through sophomores in college and supports them not only into teaching but through the early years of teaching. So we not only recruit, we also retain teachers. What that looks like is this. So it's a state-by-state approach. So we're in Illinois and New Mexico now. The model is...
I didn't know you were in New Mexico. That's great news. One of my favorite states, by the way. So
yeah, just started. Cool. We've just launched here in New Mexico. So I'm coming
when
here
you say
Santa Fe.
Are you in Santa Fe today?
I am.
You lucky dog. Is that where you live?
Moved here in August, yes.
From Chicago?
From Chicago.
I used to live
in
Chicago, and I've been to Santa Fe. Okay, I used to live in Rogers Park for years, and so now you live in Santa Fe, one of my favorite places. Okay, you're a lucky man.
It is,
just so you know that
it is beautiful.
Yeah,
I was also
great.
Lucky because I was in the Chicago Public Schools for 33 years, so that was a pretty lucky thing too.
Yeah, I'm glad that's urban education, man. It's harder and harder to find great people. Thank you for that.
So, you know, back in 1989, when that first group of scholars came into being, there were 15, and we just inducted a class of a little over 360 young people in Illinois who are committed to teaching for 5 years in a school of need. So sort of here's the model in Illinois, and then we'll talk about New Mexico. But so we're recruiting young people. These are Illinois residents who go to Illinois colleges and universities. So they could go to any higher ed institution that has a teacher licensure program. Every summer, we bring them together for what we call Scholar Institute. And so this year, we're at 9 campuses around the state. We cohort scholars, bring them together, and they learn from those award-winning teachers. So this is our model, is to get award-winning teachers in. We're supplemental to what happens in higher ed. And then they go back to their home communities, and they work in schools in their home communities and then have reflective seminars. So we teach, learn, and reflect on the on what teaching is. And, you know, I don't know about you, but, boy, when I started teaching back in 1986, and I was just hitchhiking through Chicago, and I stopped and saw a cousin who said, yeah, you should go to the Chicago Public Schools.
Yeah, who knew? Who knew it would be temporary, right? Yeah, 33
right,
years.
Right,
right. Right. Yeah.
So I was hitchhiking through, and then I think, you know, I started a job at a school I'd never been in, never met anybody. I wasn't from Chicago. I was from rural southern Indiana. And I think I cried every day for a month because you don't, you know, you don't go to your principal and say, I don't know what I'm doing. Right? And it would be nice to have a cohort of people who are there to support you. And so we create those cohorts.
What did you teach?
I taught high school English. I was a track and cross-country coach. I was a union delegate. I became an assistant principal, a principal, and a chief officer in CPS.
Wow. Great. Congratulations, man. That's great. Thank you, Alan.
Thanks. It was a joy.
Go ahead. obviously it was. We need more like you. Continue the story.
So with the Scholars Program, they have this time in the summer. They build those relationships. They have time in the classroom, so hundreds of additional hours by the time they graduate. And then we support them while they're undergrads, too. We focus on first-generation college students, students of color going into teaching because of the huge disparity that exists between
teachers
of color. Right. And then we help them ideally return to their communities to teach, but find that best fit to teach. They commit to teaching for 5 years in what is defined as a school of need. They do receive tuition support, and in the summers, they get paid professional development. They're paid for that time that they're on campus and that they're working in schools. And then we mentor them in their first 2 years of teaching. So those mentors are the Golden Apple Award-winning teachers, or what we call Crystal Apple recipients, those who fulfilled the mission to teach for 5 years in a school of need and have received their Crystal Apple. So what that means is, you know, 82% of those we induct as high school seniors, sophomores in college, graduate within 6 years with a teaching license. And you must know the numbers that it's around 50% who actually do graduate and go into teaching.
Yeah.
And similarly, about another 82% of them fulfill their commitment to teach for 5 years in a school of need. Again,
yep.
We're around the 50% numbers of people who stay in teaching. So it's that cohort model, those extra hours, the mentoring that goes on that really keeps people in teaching.
And how long do they, on average, do your folks stay in teaching after the 5 years? Are they in it? Then I'll just ask that question. How long after 5 years?
So, yeah, we're unable to fully track how long they stay after 5 years because they're kind of, they may go teaching in another state. They may go to another district.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we know that we have about 2,500 teachers that we've prepared who are teaching in Illinois schools right now.
Wow, that's fabulous. But by the way, I want to say something. The way I just phrased that, I think teaching for 5 years, okay, is great. Okay, nobody has to make a lifelong commitment to anything. Okay, I hope they all stay. Okay, and I know a lot of districts use the phrase hire to retire. Well, that's a long time. That's 40 years. Okay, 30 years, whatever it is. That's a long time. Okay, and people don't have to make that commitment. But the 5-year commitment, I think, is wonderful. And we just got to keep the pipeline behind it full, okay? And then we're in real good shape, and we get people who really are excited and care about teachers. On that note, okay, I have to ask you, and I know you've been working with Nick Poliak's district over in Chicago. Are you guys helping? They have a Grow Your Own program, which is that standard term when people try to get the kids to come back to the district and, promise them an interview and all that sort of thing. How are you working with high school kids to get them involved in education, if in fact you are?
Well, the way we work primarily is through groups like Educators Rising. So, and in Illinois, there's a very specific group that is a Grow Your Own program. And anybody who goes through one of those programs moves to the very last round of our application process.
Cool.
Educators Rising and groups like that, they put students in schools while they're in high school to give them that experience. And in many cases, those students are earning college credit in education courses before they ever go to college. And so those are great programs that give students that experience because, hey man, I don't know about you, but so many of the people I hired when I was a principal, and I hired a lot of Golden Apple Scholars, but, I mean, I started a school from scratch, so I got to hire a lot of teachers.
Well.
And almost all of them I hired, whether they were career changers or whether they were coming straight out of undergrad, all had an experience of, working with somebody and seeing somebody else learn and grow because of them, right? They got to see somebody else have that spark. And the more we can do to put high school students, to put young people in that, that experience to say, you're going to learn something because of me, the more we're going to excite people about the profession of teaching.
How do you talk to me now about, because you've done this has been in Illinois since 1985. Am I correct? 1985?
That's right.
Okay, 1980, that's a long time now, okay?
Yeah.
Now you're just now starting. That's wonderful, by the way. You're just now starting in New Mexico. What do you need to start up? And let me just give you an example. We're talking to people all over the country today. I live in Maine. Suppose somebody in Maine gets in touch with goldenapple.org. This is great. How do we do it here in Maine? Talk about what you've done to get it started now in New Mexico, and can other people call you and say, hey, can we start this in Maine or wherever? Alan.
Well, my wife's a Mainer, so she would be really happy.
Where's she from? Where is she from?
She's from York. She's in a lobstering family in York.
You tell her I live in York County.
No way. Okay.
I do. I do.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. So what happened in New Mexico, first of all, is you know, basically one of our funders, one of our supporters who's in Chicago and in Santa Fe said, gosh, the teacher shortage is pretty dire here. You know, you've got the fifth largest state in terms of geography. You've got the same number of students in New Mexico, basically, as the Chicago public schools. It's an incredibly rural state, and anybody who knows about the teacher shortage knows that rural communities are being hit particularly hard.
That's right.
And so there's a co-leader of the foundation, Alicia Winkler. She and I co-lead the foundation.
Yes,
we came out in July just to meet. Just to meet with a number of people who are interested in education, who funds work like this. And we met with about a dozen foundations and found a lot of support. But understanding that to build a program, you have to also build relationships. And so I moved out in August, and my wife and I drove out here from Illinois. And I've just been touring the state, first of all, to meet with folks and really understand the teacher shortage. As it happens in different communities, to talk about the program we have and see what needs to be iterated on, and then met with a number of key legislators across the state to say, is this something, you know, we don't think we're the only solution. We're one, and we want to work with a lot of other partners to help address the teacher shortage, because Educators Rising, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so when, you know, because there is almost no one really working in the recruitment of high school students through early college students, I mean, you also know that colleges of ed have been hemorrhaging students. It's, people are not going traditional programs the way they used to. And so this is, you know, higher ed likes it because we recruit for them. And we help with their own retention numbers, because if they go to a higher ed institution, they're more likely to stay and graduate with that teaching license.
So did you work with, like, University of New Mexico and New Mexico State? Are you working with them?
Working with them, working with New Mexico Highlands, Western New Mexico, Eastern New Mexico, San Juan College. Yep, places across the state. Absolutely. And the plan is to have our very first scholar institute in New Mexico in mid-July at UNM, at the University of New Mexico, and bring that first cohort of scholars together here.
I want to ask you this. This is, you did this in Illinois, okay? But I'm curious about this. Rural schools, A, are having trouble finding teachers. That's A, okay? But even harder, okay, if the rural schools are more ethnic, we're having trouble bringing diverse educators into these schools, people that look like their students, okay?
Right.
And I'm thinking New Mexico, a lot of people are going to be of Latino, or they are going to be of Native American descent, okay?
Right.
How are we doing on getting those kind of kids, okay, into thinking about becoming teachers, which I think is really important? But it's harder. Go ahead. It's just hard in a rural school to get anybody. Let's hear what you're doing with that. What are they saying about that?
So, you know, this brings up very much that grow your own program. You are not going to get somebody from an urban community to move and to stay, more than likely, in a rural community to teach. Right? You need somebody who understands the community, who's from the community, or from a community like that to come in. So that is where...
Right.
The bulk of our efforts are around recruitment. It is to find those who are interested in teaching, and yes, partnering with groups like Educators Rising, really pushing at the district level to say, this is a program you should have. So, you know, the Pueblos of Laguna and Acoma, for example, they have an Educators Rising program at Laguna Acoma High School. And so they are working to grow their own teachers from those pueblos. And, you know, our effort is to recruit those students coming out so they return to their communities to teach. So that's very specifically one way to get people back into their communities to teach. And so students reflect the diversity, or the teachers reflect the diversity of those they're going to serve. As we all know, students do better when they have a teacher who looks like them and who understands
role models, exactly. Of course.
Right.
Of course they do. And on that note, Let's swing back to Illinois. All right. That equity question, that diversity of educators question, how'd you guys do with that in Illinois? I know you can probably emulate that, I hope, in New Mexico. How'd you do with that in Illinois? Did we get enough black and I'll just say black and Latino kids to become teachers? How'd you do on that one?
So our numbers are over 50% of our Golden Apple scholars have been students of color, and over half have also been first-generation college students. And I want to bring up that in Illinois, over half of the students in Illinois schools are students of color, and public schools are students of color, but only 20% of teachers are teachers of color. So there's a huge mismatch, and yes, that is absolutely a huge focus of what we do.
Yeah, that is really great. And what are you doing that gets these kids interested in education? You're going to laugh when I say this. What's the sales pitch? What are you telling them?
Well, first of all, the sales pitch is the award-winning teachers, is, you know, finding those great teachers in different communities across the state who reflect their communities. And so, you know, we talk about inspiring people to become teachers, and there's no greater way to inspire someone to be a teacher than to have an inspirational teacher, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I got into teaching because of Kim Mann. I mean, my high school English teacher, right? And having those teachers who reflect the diversity of the communities they serve is absolutely vital. We also do intentional recruitment within those communities. So if you know that there are teachers in Decatur or East St. Louis or the south side of Chicago or wherever, that is where the recruitment takes place most heavily. Because we need to help people think about teaching as a career and let them understand how they can change the lives of others through being in the classroom.
And what do they say in return? What's the response of students who you are talking to? Now, I know a lot of them are going to say, yes, that sounds cool, okay? But I'm just curious, generically, are kids interested in education as a career? What are you finding?
Well, I find it's a little harder, even though we have our largest scholar class ever. I do think it has been more of a challenge, and I think the work we've been doing around recruitment has really ramped up because it's just not something that people are automatically going into anymore, right? The pandemic has been particularly hard on students. In fact, I was just doing interviews yesterday. Right. I was doing interviews for potential New Mexico scholars last night. And part of what I heard was just, you know, we're so excited about going to school, love school. Then we went all online and just how hard that was. And I didn't get to see my friends and I didn't get to connect and my grades fell off. Right. That has been a tougher road to hoe. There's no doubt.
It's interesting.
But I think the more that we can have students going into sort of grow your own programs where they're helping others learn, I think that is working in consort with what we do to really help people think about teaching differently. And you know, the other part I would say is sometimes people go into teaching in college and then leave pretty quickly after they've enrolled.
That is correct.
And part of what our scholar institutes seek to do is to bring them together, to bring that cohort, to bring that community of future teachers together so they can support one another in what they're doing, to share those stories of inspiration.
Well, it's so hard. What's the difference? This is a good one. What are you finding is the difference between Illinois and New Mexico in terms of teacher recruitment? What's the difference? Is it just because New Mexico is more rural? You're trying to get people to stay in rural community? What are you finding?
So, yes, New Mexico is absolutely more rural. It is racially and ethnically diverse. But what's interesting about New Mexico is you could be in one part of the state and you know somebody on the other part of the state. It is like a small town across the fifth largest state in terms of geography in the country.
That's great.
And so the relationships here are really, really fascinating. Just the word of mouth piece is really important here, I think much more important than it is in Illinois, for example.
That's an interesting thing.
Yeah, and one of the interesting things here in New Mexico, too, because we also have a career changer program called the Accelerators. So in Illinois, first of all, we started the Accelerators just as soon as I started at Golden Apple in 2018 when I retired from the Chicago Public Schools. I, being from a rural community, I have a particular affinity for rural communities. And I was just driving around the state talking to superintendents and principals about our program and say, boy, you know, we really need more recruits from here. And everybody said, you know, that's great. But you know what? You're talking about 5 years before somebody gets into my school. I haven't had a, you know, biology teacher in 2 years. I don't have a Spanish teacher, you know. And all of our math is online. You know, I need somebody now. So we started the Accelerators program there just 3 years ago, working with a couple of institutions of higher ed. And so this is a 15-month residency and concurrent licensure program. So we have a couple of higher ed institutions, three to be exact, Blackburn College, Eastern Illinois University, and Northern Illinois University, who take those we recruit and have wholly online coursework, so they can be, you know, 5 hours apart and be taking a course together, but they're staying in their home communities and doing a co-teaching residency for an entire year.
Oh, well.
And we just do this in southern, central, and western Illinois, the more rural parts of the state. And this is not available in Chicago because, frankly, Chicago has its own thing. And we don't want to be competing with anybody. You know, it's collaboration.
Yeah, I get it. And that's a good thing. Alan, who are these people who are entering the Accelerator program? What's their, if it's possible, what's their typical background? How old are they? What's the generic?
So first of all, they're mostly in their 30s, 40s, some in the 50s, who have decided either to do something different with their lives, or in many cases, over half of them have been working in schools as classroom assistants, as coaches, and had some other job. They just really want to be full-time in school, but they haven't had the opportunity. And, you know, you're from a rural community and you don't have a higher ed institution near you. You can't just, you know, get off your job at 5 p.m., drive 2 hours to go to a class, drive 2 hours back,
and get
a teaching license. And so, you know, with the support of the state, we've been able to offer a $25,000 stipend, which more than pays for the coursework that they have. And they're able to go through this co-teaching residency in most districts, not all of them, but most of them continue to pay their educational assistants as educational assistants or hire them as educational assistants while they're going through this residency program. So, you know, they understand the value of having a career changer from the community who you know is going to remain in the community. So that's
No, I was just going to say that is so good. I love the background of these people, and you're really giving them a great opportunity here. Okay, I think it's just really important what you're doing. I really do. Okay, and is this the same thing that's going to happen in New Mexico? Is this what's going to happen in New Mexico?
Yes, so we launched the Scholars Program first. This next year is when we also launched the Accelerators Program here. New Mexico also has a really strong kind of alternative licensure program. And, you know, the state here, it's funded very differently. The state has been wildly supportive. And, in fact, they just put enough money into the budget to pay whether they're undergrads going into a full year of what we would normally call student teaching, but really a full year of a co-teaching residency, or a career changer going into a full year of co-teaching residency.
Well,
the state is paying them $35,000 to do that.
Well,
and you know, I had to pay when I was a student teacher. I don't know about you.
Yeah, exactly. So did I.
Yeah.
I was thinking the other difference between New Mexico and Illinois is that most of New Mexico's governors don't go to jail immediately after. That's another big difference. Right.
Very true.
Yeah. They have a separate prison just for the governors. You know, what you guys are doing is just terrific. You know, Alan, we have a website, okay, teacher-retention.com, that's geared to what you're doing. Would you guys like to be part of that and do some editorial for us and that sort of thing? We'd love to have you do that.
Love that. Yep. I love the website.
We get a lot of,
I'd love to do that. Yes.
We get a lot of visitors, and I love what you're doing here. Okay, and to spread the word, I don't know, you know, if you want to expand it or whatever. I know you just moved into New Mexico, but the point is this. I'm glad we're giving you the publicity. When I heard about this from Nick Polyak over at Layden in Layden High School District in Illinois, okay, and he was just raving about you guys, okay. And Nick's a great superintendent, and I just had to get you on. And I want to thank Kelly for putting this together, and we'll do more shows, okay? Hopefully Ashley and Rachel, who will call in eventually, and we'll figure out what's going on, and we'll get them on with you again. Do you want to? So the most important question, do you want to stay a Mather, or do you want to be a Mother?
You know, I think I'm going to stay a Mather. I don't know how my dad would feel if I just decided to switch it up at this point.
I don't know. Check it out. Mather, Mother, tomato, tomato. It's that simple. This is, everybody, this is Santa Fe. I'm very jealous, by the way. That's like one of my favorite places in the world. It's one of everybody's favorite places in the world. Okay?
So
and
beautiful.
I think it's great. Yeah, it is. It's fabulous. Okay? Have you been down? Of course, you have been down to Madrid, down south a little bit. The little artist
been colony. To Madrid. In fact, I go to Madrid pretty regularly because we meet some friends at the midway point. And we play games at the mine shaft there.
There you go. And it's a great place to stop for lunch and all that sort of stuff. Between Albuquerque and Santa Fe, it's just a beautiful part of the world. It really is. You're a lucky man, and you're doing so well, and this is great what you're doing. We want to support you every way we can. So let me get back in touch
with you.
Okay? And we'll go from there. Okay, Alan. You take care and have a great Santa Fe. What is it, 6,000 feet? Have a great 7,200
feet here, Larry.
70. The air is rare in Santa Fe. Okay, so seriously, have a great summer, and we will be in touch shortly, okay, and work out
Thank
some stuff
so
and get
much,
you guys
Larry.
Involved in what we're doing here. Okay, this is great.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you.
Mr. Mather, thank you. Okay, take care, Alan. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Yeah, everybody, that's Alan Mather, not Mother, Mather. Okay, goldenapple.org. It should be everywhere. Okay, we'll see what we can do. It's helping to create, to retain teachers. So check it out, goldenapple.org. An apple for the teacher. I'm Larry Jacobs. Check out what we do at ace-ed.org, where everything is linked. Have a good day. Oh, and we'll see you Monday. We're off the rest of the week. Excuse me. Have a good day.